This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shift and steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, welcome to the party, pals. This is Brad and Matt. Aaron's not here this week. He forgot we do a Friday show, and he left for SEMA early. So anyways, hey, everyone, it's right. The clock is ticking, and everything is counting down to the big SEMA show. Matt, do you remember when I said the very first SEMA that I ever attended was?
It was a while ago.
It was the best year ever, 1984.
Wow.
I was just a young kid. I don't think I had a driver's license yet or anything. But no, I jumped on a plane from Phoenix, went up to the SEMA show, had my credentials. And man, I can tell you how much it's changed. You took a taxi cab right to the front door. The front parking lot was actually a parking lot. And the... Yeah, you walked into, you've heard of the rotunda, and that's where you got signed, you know, got your badge and everything, and you walked in, and it was just that one main building. And I remember B&M Transmissions was dead center down the stairs, and what was so cool about B&M back then is if you walked up to their booth, they had stacks of these cardboard briefcases. And the cardboard briefcases were emblazoned with B&M Transmissions. Mm-hmm. And they had a little slot that had a spring. And you would walk around, get your catalogs, and just slide them in. And it was so they had plastic handles, and you carry them around like a briefcase. So you'd go everywhere, you'd get your stickers, your catalogs, you'd slide them in that briefcase. And when it was full, back then, they had a UPS store right on site. I'm sure there's still a UPS store. But it was, you could just go in and like check them in. And like at the end of the show, you had three of them. They'd tape them together and ship them to you. And it was cool. It was very, very quaint. But it was a lot of fun. I think yeah. I've got two or three of those briefcases around still in my warehouse. And they probably still have the stickers and catalogs that I got back in 1984. You know, because you put them
coming
in there.
Up next on Win Brad's Stuff.
There you go. There you go.
Is SEMA swag from 30 years ago.
But it was fun. You know, I mean, back then, walk around, you go to the big Moroso booth, Moroso Performance. And
yeah,
guys like, I remember Reggie Jackson would always be there signing autographs and booths because he was in his heyday. And you know, he was always in the car, so he'd be at some big booth signing autographs and posters. And
that's what I need is a heyday.
Yeah, I need a heyday too.
I need
to make some heyday.
Like some heyday. I need sort of a period of time where things go well.
So
it doesn't seem like that's been the case in a while.
I want to tell everyone that if you're in business right now and things are really slowed down, it's not just you. Okay. It's not just you. So,
yeah. And stick with it, but, cause we got your back.
That's right.
For sure. We should,
we're not charging. So just listen to us for
yeah.
free.
As a matter of fact, if you're running your own business, you're running a small business, hit us up on social media. Tell us what it is. I'd like to give a shout out to those companies because we're all doing that, and we should share the love. And of course, you always want to like give your deals to your friends and hand out free product and stuff like that, whatever you're doing or free services. But the important part is your friends should support and buy your stuff. That's the way small businesses work.
Well, that's right.
I like to think they work. All right. So SEMA show, we've got a lot to look
forward to. Is that near?
It's coming up soon. Aaron's already on his way because he drives everywhere and he's got to bring vehicles out there. And
I think he's driving one of his moving vans.
That'd be great if he was. He accidentally just was so brain fogged. He brought the wrong thing. He's like,
right. Where's your Jeep that you're supposed to display with all our parts on it? And he's like, oh, crap. I drove the 1990 moving van.
Yeah, the crappy U-Haul thing. There's going to be a lot going on, as you can imagine. SEMA Fest is going to be the big after party. If you guys want to hear all about SEMA Fest, tickets are still available at SEMAFest.com. But this past week on CarCast, I sat down with one of the guys from SEMA and talked all about the event. And it's this concert series, but in between there's Nitro Circus, Nitro Circus BMX, Motocross, Hoonigan, Formula Drift. There's a whole thing going on for 2 days. Now, what they're not going to do is the typical SEMA Ignited like car show thing, because I talked to them. I said, remember the first year of SEMA Ignited when it was like at the link and all the cars were like running out of gas and stalling on the road because the show cars aren't supposed to be in the convention center.
Because they had to have their gas tanks drained. Everybody forgot that. You can't have them in the show. And then you got to drive 3 miles to get to the SEMA Fest. It was like, oh, crap. Yeah. Or SEMA Ignited. It was like, SEMA Ignited. Crap.
So they actually kind of learned their lesson and they're trying to figure out how to integrate the two. But for now, they said, we're not even going to try to do it. There's going to be SEMA show, the trade show. And then after the trade show, SEMA Fest starts. There's actually a little bit of overlap. There's like 4 hours of overlap because SEMA Fest starts like on noon on Friday. And then the trade show ends at 4:00. And you
how
can
much
get
are
tickets,
by the way, do you know?
So tickets for SEMA Fest are, I think they start at like 100 something. Let me see. I'll find out for sure. But they start at $119 for a single day admission. It's $179 if you want to go for the 2 days. And then there's VIP tickets that start at $349. And the lineup of bands, Incubus, Wiz Khalifa, Third Eye Blind, Bush, Ludacris, Imagine Dragons, AJR, Walk the Moon, Struts, Meg Myers, and like 10 more that's going on.
So they're getting back the Beatles back together, Van Halen back together.
I'm just telling you, it's like I give them credit for trying to do this merger of this industry and enthusiasts and bring them something that's kind of new and kind of unique. You got to cut them a little slack. This is the first year and there's going to be a few hiccups and they're at a location that they've never been to before.
It's going to be like Woodstock where it's like, they're all in the mud and everything.
They're only like a quarter mile away or a half mile away on kind of a parking lot sort of fairgrounds thing.
It's across from what used to be the Sahara.
Yeah. And I asked Tom at SEMA, I was like, how has it been trying to plan this? He's like, I can't even tell you how many times I was just in Vegas standing in a parking lot with somebody going, is this the right place? Is this where we should do it? Or I go standing in another big parking lot going, how can we turn this into something huge? Like, it's not an easy thing to do, but it'll be interesting. You can go back and listen to CarCast and get all the details on it, but tickets are still available. Even as you're listening to this, you can get tickets if you're in Vegas or anywhere around or near Vegas. You can make the drive out. You can even just drive in for the 1 day and then leave later. But
or you can helicopter in with us on the shift and steer jet propelled helicopter. We still have tickets available.
So, matter of fact, every ticket is available.
Yes.
Because it,
and if we sell enough of them, then we can go.
Then we'll go and actually get the helicopter. What do we have to look forward? Well, I know what you guys are thinking. The builds at SEMA, they're going to be off the hook as usual. And you're all curious about which Fox Body Mustangs are going to be there.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're thinking about.
That's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. So I think there's going to be quite a few out there. I want to say Mike Musto from Hemmings has been putting together a Fox Mustang build, kind of a street strip build, I think was the plan on that. He's going to do a series on YouTube about his build on that. And then I believe the car is going to be there. Something to do with Hemmings. I don't know exactly which booth, but if Hemmings has a booth.
Well, Hemmings is celebrating their anniversary. So they're doing a pretty big deal there. So it's a big blowout for Hemmings.
I don't know where this other car is going to be, but I think there's one called Pro Fox. If you look it up on YouTube, it's one of the four-eyed cars. They've been doing a pretty cool build on that as well. And then there's going to be a few, which is interesting because I think in 2016, when we brought two Fox Body Mustangs, the shell with the suspension stuff in the red car, there wasn't anything there. And then over the years,
Fox bodies have found their time.
It's, you know, we always talk about like the big brother dragging up the little brother, you know, the Mercedes Gullwing going up in value and bringing that 190 SL up in value. It's kind of that way in the aftermarket world as well. When some of these car platforms get so expensive, you start to go down to the next rung. And, you know, like first gen Broncos are so expensive, but now we're looking at like 90s Broncos and the Eddie Bauer editions and
right
and stuff going, where are we going with that? I mean, look at what happened with trucks, right? With C10s and stuff. Like now those are
C10s, then the square body.
And now we're going to the OBS trucks and stuff. So yeah, I think you're gonna start to see quite a few of those that are happening out there. And you're going to start to see more parts become available for those cars. For example, I've been kind of pushing the guys at Vintage Air on this for a while. I think I sat down with Rick Love, who's the CEO of Vintage
Yes.
Air. Everybody in the industry knows Rick Love because he's been in the industry for
Rick forever, man. Yeah, love
for the
guy.
Longest time.
Love him.
And he's the sweetest guy. He's such a good dude.
Super nice guy.
And Vintage Air has just been one of those companies that ends up in every aftermarket build. I have
Vintage Air in two of my cars. Yep.
If you're doing air conditioning in anything that's custom, you're using Vintage Air. As a matter of fact, the 4GTs, like the 2005, 2006, they use Vintage Air systems mm-hmm. in them. This is definitely not my influence on Rick Love, but I've definitely spoken to him a few times going, what are we doing with Fox Mustangs? Like what's going on with Fox Mustangs? And I'm scheduled to be in his booth and interview him on Thursday during the SEMA show. And the notes that they sent to me was the new Vintage Air SureFit Fox system. And I was like, sweet. And now I'm super interested in this because you Mustang guys know the big three dials, right? The manual dials that are above the radio. There's always like relocation kits because, you know, the shifter's in the way and you can't get to the radio and the AC's in the way. But imagine now an AC unit, hopefully, that if it uses the Gen 5, the Vintage Air Gen 5 core system, those are digitally controlled. So now you can go with a much smaller control system. You can get the Vintage Air dials, which are sort of the backlit digital systems, or you can go to Dakota Digital that makes aftermarket units that control it. You could put a little screen in there. You can completely modernize the look and control of the AC system, but also because it's so much smaller, you can get that little device and you can move it anywhere. You can move it into the center console where the ashtray is. Like you can move it in that area and then opens up the whole center console to do a touch screen and move it up higher or whatever. Like now you have a lot more options which weren't really there, which is really one of the reasons why I kept talking to Vintage Air going, if I pulled the stock AC under dash unit out from a Fox Mustang, could you guys retrofit, you know, your new system in there? And he goes, well, at this point, everything would have to be custom. So we'll see if what they came up with. And QA1 has a new Fox Mustang suspension kit. I'm curious to see if Ride Tech is going to have their new independent rear for the Fox Mustang based on the S550 rear suspension package. So anyway, that's all the Fox stuff that's going to be out there. Every year we go over and talk to Mike and Jim Ring, the Ring brothers. Brad, I know you know them.
Yeah, I've known those guys forever. But I did want to say one other thing about the Fox bodies. I won't have mine done for this year.
No, neither will I.
Well, no, it's you know, it's a lot of work what I'm doing to that one. You know, Matt, it's you know, trying to put that full 4x4 chassis you know, underneath with an LS motor. It's a lot of work because I'm trying to, you know, make it right.
You say that, but there's like a twin turbo LS swapped Fox Mustang on Bring a Trailer right now. The only thing they doesn't have is the lift kit.
We'll see. That's why I'm doing a lift kit.
Yeah.
Okay?
It might be supercharged. I don't know. It's an LS
33 inch monster mutters. And my phone's not even in here and my computer's grabbing it. So, but yeah, you know, you gotta have that, setup. But no, I think, you know what?
I think the first comment on Bring a Trailer was, this needs a Ford engine on that car, on that listing.
Yeah, but no, there actually are quite a number of people that are doing LS motors in those cars now, just simply because everything can use an LS motor. But the they are a little bit less expensive than the Ford. Anything Ford gets a little more expensive. We all know that. And but yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to doing a Fox body someday, but first I've got to finish my Chevelle and my Camaro. Then I can.
That's
do
right.
Something like that.
I have a Fox body that's been on hold for years. So I'm going to say,
just thinking
only,
about that.
I'm going to say it's only because I'm still missing center caps for the wheels.
Oh, come on. That's not the one that's on hold. The one that's on hold is still sitting as a shell over at Bodie's shop.
Yeah. Well, both of them are on hold. And yeah, that's right. Bodie has a shell of a car over there. Oops. Sorry, Bodie.
So the Ring Brothers, always doing something. Last year, the talk was all about that cane seat 4x4 that they brought, the K5 Blazer, I believe.
They brought the K5 Blazer, yeah. But they brought that crazy kind of coach-built truck with the carbon fiber shell and the
hot rod
engine, yeah. And the sort of the NASCAR-themed thing. That was great. And they had a Mustang. So they brought three cars last year. And every year I ask them, I'm like, why do you guys keep bringing so many cars? They're like, we're definitely not going to bring more than one car. So this year you'll be happy to know they brought three cars.
Of course. They have three customers that go, I want my car at SEMA. And they're like, okay.
They have a 65 Mustang convertible. Now this car is really interesting because they did one called Caged. And if you look at it, it's gorgeous, but it's not way over the top. It's just like if you went to the Ring Brothers and said, restore the car with your quality, give it a nice engine, and let me drive it. And that's exactly what they did. And I think Uncaged is a different customer who saw Caged and said, I like that. Let's do something like that. But Caged, by the way, when I talked to the Rings last time, I think they said the owner got that car and drives it almost daily. He put 5,000 miles on that car.
Good for him.
In the first month.
That's a lot of miles for any car.
In the first month, they put 5,000 miles in the first month on that Mustang convertible. So I'm excited about seeing that car. They're going to have a 69 Dodge Charger that they call Tusk, and it's going to be 1,000 horsepower. I think it's a Helifant engine, but we'll get into the, yeah, it's
that
going
would
to be
make
a Helifant.
Sense. Helifant motor and Tusk.
The Helifant is set back 2.5 inches. It's got a lengthened wheelbase. It's got a custom cowl and firewall. It's got extended rockers and fenders and a bunch of other stuff, but that's all I can give you so far with 1,000 horsepower. It should be interesting. And then the third car is called Paramount, and this is a departure for them. So I'm very curious to see. Paramount is a 1961 Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud II.
Okay.
It's going to have a 640 horsepower engine. I'm sure some kind of LS engine in it. And it's going to be sort of the ultimate grand touring and luxury car.
It's a what year? 61?
A 61 Rolls-Royce.
That's still the bulbous rounded one.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because they do some dynamic, you know, builds. But there have been some good builders that have tried to build those cars and haven't pulled it off. You know, it's a tough one. But, you know, I'm sure they did well with it.
All I can tell you is in typical Ring Brothers fashion, it's going to have a completely custom chassis, completely hand-built floors in it. It's going to have sort of the starlight headliner, kind of like what you see in the new Rolls-Royce cars. So luxury is going to be the thing here. But of course, with a big engine. I told the Rings, I said, well, I'll be out there for SEMA. I'm going to go and see all the cars. We'll connect on Thursday because all the cars unveil on Tuesday. Let you guys take a breather. You're going to have tons of interviews. I go, but then let's go to the Rolls Royce. Let's sit in the car. Let's do the interview there. So maybe we can.
Well, Matt, I wish you champagne wishes and caviar dreams while you're in there.
Yeah. I think I'm just saying, don't be surprised if some of the promotional pieces are Ring Brothers branded Grey Poupon mustard.
Exactly. Hey, show up with a chili dog though. Let's go get that car. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I got that. Where's the mustard? You should bring the mustard.
You got a Grey Poupon?
So I'm looking forward to a lot that's going on at SEMA. Now, it's still going to be a little different than what we've seen in the past. Now,
of course it is, because I'm pre-COVID. Not going to be there.
Right.
So there is going to be a little bit of luster not happening at SEMA. I'm sorry, folks.
That's actually 100% true. We're going to miss you out there, Brad.
Thank you.
I'm
going to miss not being there. It's going to be weird.
Now, you know, in South Hall, where Dodge and Mopar usually have a big presence, the Jeeps, the crate engines, they are going to be gone. They kind of pulled out, they pulled out the last minute. Nothing to do with SEMA itself, but they pulled out of LA Auto Show.
Yes, it did. They didn't
want
to get SEMA pregnant.
The UAW strikes are causing a fuss financially. And Stellantis has decided that they are going to skip out on SEMA show. They're going to skip out on
LA
Auto Show. And it looks like CES as well.
Yeah, they announced CES first, actually. And, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if anybody else is going to, you know, cut out at the last minute. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, you know, this UAW strike is really now it is really putting a pinch on the books of these large companies, because they have hit the largest factories, the ones that really make the money, and it's killing them. In fact, Stellantis, if you dig down in, one of the things that they've now added to their wishes is that they can shut down their world headquarters in Detroit. Because they're looking at that, maybe they don't need a U.S. footprint, you know, for their marketing and for their, which is not good for any of us. I mean, you know, and that's a result of this strike. It's much like the entertainment strike out here. It's gone on so long that the studios will never be the same as they were.
Yeah. Is it interesting? 'Cause the, out here, the writer strike got resolved, but the actor strike is still happening. And
one without the other does not do.
It doesn't work. So not exactly sure what's going to continue to happen there. I'm sure SEMA is going to have a bunch of other surprises from builders that are looking to debut their cars. But some of the other announcements that we know, Infiniti, for example, and Nissan are going to have some interesting cars. Infiniti is going to have a modified Q50 Red Sport 400 at SEMA. So they're doing some pretty interesting things on that car. I believe Nissan is going to be bringing a Nissan Rogue that's kind of a lifted off-road ready, kind of Baja ready version of it. So we're seeing sort of two sides. One's going to be performance street and the other is going to be off-road, which, by the way, that whole overlanding expo portion of SEMA definitely continues to grow. AEV is going to have some builds out there, among others. I think Chip Foose has been doing a Myers Manx.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's bringing out there. He's been customizing a Myers Manx. And since it's Friday before SEMA, chances are he's in the paint booth right now. And
we were just talking about, my wife and I were just talking about Chip the other day. And we were talking about how several SEMAs back when I was working on that Ford Super Truck that I built.
Yeah.
And I'm in my shop at my house and I'm going crazy. I mean, we hadn't slept in days. We're trying to get it done. In fact, I had the cab, the chassis, and we were installing the interior, but the bed was still up at the body shop. Excuse me. Because I'm looking at timing. I'm going, I don't have time for you guys to color sand the whole truck, do the cab, do the front fenders and the hood. Then I'm going to take it, come back and get the front fascia and the truck's bed and everything with my trailer. So he showed up because he was doing a truck also. And he had an idea of taking the rear tailgate emblem and putting it on the fenders because it looked different. Nobody, you know, but he wanted to know if he could have the one off of my truck because we had taken them off. And he showed up and he looked around and we're all like scrambling around and he went, are you going to get that done? And I said, yeah. He goes, where's the bed? And I said, I don't worry about it. It's going to be done. And
it's meeting us there. The bed's on its own.
Yeah. I mean, all he did was lower the truck and make some side molding and put the emblems around, you know? And I remember the next day we are still, you know, going at it. And I get a call from Ford and they're like, you know, hey, everything okay? And I go, yeah, why? And you're going to get that truck here, right? Because it's supposed to be on the turntable. And I go, yeah, no problem. I'll have it there. And he goes, oh, well, because Chip got here today and he was saying that you didn't even have a bed or anything. And I go, don't worry about it. And then when I pulled in, they were all like, wow, you got it done. You know, I mean, but, you know, of course, I had bags under my eyes, about five pounds worth. But no, it's those are the stories that make SEMA, though, because you always remember that year that happened or that this happened and, you know, all the crazy stuff.
You know, one of the silly little mistakes, and I get like the SEMA show stuff oftentimes gets kind of thrashed together and then you can bring it home and you can fine tune the things. But one mistake I recommend you do not make that we made was when we brought the Red Cobra out in like 2016, we got all the pieces there and it was all basically together. It didn't run, like the fuel system wasn't done. The supercharger was on it. We just put like a belt on it and like zip tied the bottom of the belt so it wouldn't fall off. But that was pretty, but everything was there. But it had a big bear brake kit on it. It has the big six piston extremes on it, front and rear. And in the back, we threw the calipers on, we threw the bolt in there, we snugged it down, but we didn't shim it or we just threw the shims on, but like all on one side, not centering up the caliper.
Right.
So it was done and we're loading it onto the trailer like the Monday it was driving out there. And without shimming the caliper, it wasn't centered on the rotor. So the pad was hitting the rotor. So we're trying to push the car onto a trailer. The brakes are on and it's hitting the brakes and we couldn't fix it. So we had to push it onto the trailer. We had to unload it at the front of SEMA and push it into place. And then at the end of SEMA, when you're loading in, there's people around. You can get a couple of friends and be like, hey, who's standing around? Like, help me push this thing. But when you're loading out, people load up.
Everybody's gone
so quickly. Everyone's gone. Like, we were out front by the Ford out front area with Magnaflow, and Friday SEMA closes Friday. We go get the car like early Saturday morning, cause we're like, oh, we got a thing Friday night. And they said, yeah, you'll be fine. It's still closed off. It's security. We get there Saturday morning and it's just like some crews taking down tents in the railing. Like every car is gone.
Sitting there by
the Magnaflow truck, the car sitting by itself. And it's just like me and one other guy trying to push it onto a trailer, right? Onto a trailer. We're like, oh my God, this is nuts. And talk about like breaking a sweat. Like there was people looking going, I don't understand what they're doing. And
why is it so hard to push that car? It's not that heavy.
Yeah. They're like, God, what a bunch of weaklings. So it's a small car. Like how could it can't weigh more than 3,000 pounds. You get it onto a trailer. And it was such a pain in the ass. And then finally we just had to get like six people. And like everybody's got to go. It's holding the brake. There's nothing we can do about it.
Did you ever take those shims out, Matt?
I did actually.
Good.
So when I brought the car back home, the reason why it's not running in its current state is I went through kind of on my own because of the center caps, mostly because of the center caps. I went through on my own and redid everything on that car. So, redid the suspension, redid all the brakes.
So you're saying it doesn't run because you redid everything on your own?
Because I just didn't fucking finish it, you know? But yeah, it's all done. And, you know, things are like done and torqued down and close, but just never really finish it, which hopefully
that does happen because there's been, you know, a number of cars I've built over the years. And for SEMA, they come home, you've thrashed on them like crazy. Then you come home and you park them, right? Like you're saying.
Yeah.
But then you go, okay, I'm going to get to that. You know, when I got to mine was when I was going to sell them at Barrett Jackson.
Yeah.
Then it was another thrash. It was like, oh my God. And I had this list of everything I had to do, you know? And,
you know, the holdup, which I've mentioned for years now, has been all the custom supercharger bracket stuff. So there is a little bit of thought going, well, if I just need to get it running and mobile, I could probably get it fired up naturally aspirated. Right now, the injector is going to be huge and the fuel pump is going to be huge.
Yeah.
And Ray over at Full Throttle Customs is going to yell at me and going, you're doing it wrong. You know,
and it's going to be belching black smoke until you know,
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be able to get it started. He would have to do it. Cause he would have to go, you know, you're using 80 pound injectors and a massive fuel pump for naturally aspirated with a blower
back
cam,
it way off,
you know, like for a blower cam. It's like, but can you get it started and get the engine broken in? And then, you know, then I can move it to places where I need to go to finish it up and get the supercharger stuff done. It's not the worst idea. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Ray about that and go, well, how
good
would I be?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Matt.
It might be worth a conversation with him to do it. See, but listen, I'm at the point now where like we were even talking about the wheels and tires. I got a brand new set of tires from Continental that were on that thing for the SEMA show, but now they're so out of date, although they haven't been in the sun. So I could probably still like run the tires, you know, just for burnouts and shit. And then get a new set of tires.
You know,
just,
you could drive them around. I mean, you know what?
It's like a brand new set of tires on a shelf in a warehouse. It's not
right. I've got a set of Pirellis that are brand new like that, that are sitting on my shelf. And they've never been in the sun or anything. And it's like, you know, I'm like, I put those on something. Hell yeah. You know, they're not cracked. There's nothing wrong with them.
Well, like you're right. Cause well, first of all, being out here in California, the weather's pretty much the same the whole time. Right. The tires have not gotten super cold or super hot. It wasn't in a warehouse. It wasn't in a storage facility in Arizona. Right.
Which is the worst.
Right. Which is 120 degrees in the summer. And that's before.
I,
you know, not even being like in the building where there's no air. It's just,
I have a brand new set of drag slicks that I bought in 1980, that are in my building in Arizona. And they're probably two lumps of dust about right now.
Yeah.
Okay? So I know they're not usable.
And it really hasn't been sitting on the tires the whole time, because it's been kind of on and off the tires and it's been moved around. And
as long as you get movement and you don't flat spot them and stuff like that.
But for the last, like, I don't know, but certainly for the last year, maybe almost two, I've had it up on the jack stands because I took the wheels and tires off. And I was working on, you know, because we've got the hidden valve stems and I was trying to find a small valve stem.
That,
and, and interesting, because I came up with a solution. I did find a small.
A real short, stubby one?
A short, stubby one. So you gave me, the little backstory is Brad made a custom set of wheels and we did hidden valve stem so you wouldn't see the valve stem. And it has a really great look on the wheel. But if you use anything more than like an inch valve stem,
they hit the caliper.
It'll hit the brake caliper.
Yeah.
So you have to go to a really short valve stem. But I've been talking to the guys at Dakota Digital about using their new dash. And what's cool, one of the features is it has the tire pressure monitoring system in the dash.
Oh, okay. It has TPMS. All right.
So I had to find a valve stem. You gave me little valve stems that would fit.
Yep.
But I wanted to see if I can find a set that would work with the TPMS.
Yeah.
And I found a set, put them in, took the tires off, put the valve stems in, fitted it on the car, and got it to work. And now I'm going to take that valve stem to SEMA, to Dakota Digital, and go, will your sensor work on this thing? Yeah. And I think it'll work. And then we'll have a nice solution for the whole thing. And especially wanted the TPMS, because it's a hidden valve stem. It's kind of a pain in the ass to get to that. Mm-hmm. I want to know if I'm going down on air pressure.
Like, am I getting low? Okay. I don't need to mess with it. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's what we're going to look forward to at SEMA. I'm going to be at SEMA next week when we record the show. So we're going to have to kind of figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. We'll talk. Yeah. And you know, we should probably wrap it up. We got so much in these next shows that are going to be coming up, talk about SEMA and everything like that. And I think it'll be fun. I wish I was going. I've got, you know, like I said on some other shows, some personal stuff. You know, my mom passing away, we're going to take care of her celebration of life and like that. So I'm sorry, I'm going to miss everyone. You know, family's family. So, I'll miss my car family, but I'll be with my regular family. So, hey, Aaron, have fun. Look for Aaron's Jeep. It will be there. It's all outfitted. I don't know if he's living in it at SEMA or if he's actually got a hotel room, but, he's got it all outfitted, man. Do you even know where that's going to be at, Matt?
Question. It might be in the overlanding section outside.
Tell you what, we'll find out. I think it's and outside. I'll post a picture of his Jeep and where it is. I'll check with Aaron once he gets it placed. I'll have him take a photo of it and then we'll tell you where it's going to be so you can go by and look at it. Yeah. So and you know what, we should challenge everybody, put a notch in the fender for him, just scratch a little thing in the fender so we know how many people actually came by and saw it. Is that cool? Is that all right?
I think it's fine.
Yeah,
I think it's fine. Cool. Put it in the tire.
Yeah. So and Matt will be roaming around, no cars there this year.
Yeah, thank God.
I know. And it sometimes it's like, it's always fun, but sometimes like when you go with that, it's like, oh God, it's so much.
Yeah.
Fun.
I'm so ready to not have a car there. It's actually pretty good. I mean, it was fun to bring the cars.
Yeah, but it always is, but it's the year you don't, you're like, wow, I got so much time. You know? Yeah.
All right. Well guys, thanks so much for listening. Shiftandsteer.com is the website. You know where we are on social media. All next week I'll be posting stuff on my social media for, from SEMA. So, you know, keep an eye on that.
Hey, and I'm just going to say something. It's just kind of off the wall, but I love my love rack. Every time I use it. So anyways, hey, everybody, we will be back next week with more SEMA news. And that's a promise, not a threat. Shift and Steer. We'll be back.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.